Lord, as we sang that beautiful song now, Lord, it was so wonderful to hear and to just realize again, Lord, that you're jealous over us. Lord, it is so high, it's too high for us to understand that, because, Lord, you are so high and you're so mighty and so big, and we sometimes feel so inadequate. But, Lord, thank you that you sent your Son for us to die for us, and that you brought us into your kingdom forever, Lord, and that we know that we will rule and reign with you, Lord, forever. And Lord, even tonight, we just thank you for Tiens and his team there in Thailand, Lord. We just speak a new infilling of your Spirit, Lord. And Lord, we just ask that you will lead them by your Spirit and empower them by your Spirit, Lord. And we praise you, Lord, for wonderful testimonies when they come back. And we thank you for the bridges that you've built between us and that ministry. In Jesus' name, amen. Okay, so the only reason why I'm standing here, not Tiens, as you've gathered already by now, is that Tiens isn't here physically, so he can't preach even if he wanted to. Tiens is in the congregation where we were 3 weeks ago, and I'll just slowly tell you our connection with this ministry in Thailand. But before I do that, I want to show you something. Can any of you tell me what this is? It's a surgical glove. I'm a doctor. I used to be a operating doctor. Now I'm just a doctor that talks. And you know, tonight, I'm showing you this to show you how wonderful the Holy Spirit is. Before we came here, Rihanna, my wife, she really feels for me. She says, Johan, come and sit here. I want to pray for you for tonight. You really need God's to help you. So I knew it was true. So I said, please. And you know what she prayed? She said, God, let him be the glove and you then. And this is my sermon for tonight. That is the Holy Spirit. And I can't be a Christian without the Holy Spirit. It's so boring. You know, with the Holy Spirit, there's life and there's excitement and there's new things. And that is what I mainly want to talk about. And I will end with this. So I'm just so that I don't forget. If I do forget about this glove, just remind me at the end of the service, because this is what it's all about. Okay. So, the topic is that I want to talk about, and we started this morning, is that it is God who started the good work in us, and it is God that will complete it. And sometimes we lose focus, you know, we put too much emphasis on us and on our own efforts. And it's just human, you know, because we are human, and it is easier. I promise you, it is easier to trust in yourself than to trust in the Lord. But that's not the Christian life. The Christian life is a supernatural life, where God does the supernatural through the natural. He uses our natural abilities. He meets us where we are. Yes, and then he takes it on from there. And that is so exciting. I don't think I would have been a Christian anymore if I did not allow the Holy Spirit to fill me about 30 years, 25 years ago. I was very religious. You know, and I was a good person, but I had no excitement in my Christian life. So that's what I just want to say. So what I want to say tonight is, God is, the way God completes it is through the working of his Holy Spirit in us. And that is actually what I want to talk about tonight. But I'll just quickly recap what I said this morning. Can we have the next slide? And the verse where I get all of this from is this very, very famous word, a verse in Philippians 1, verse 6, which says, all the underlining is from me and not in the Bible, being confident of this very thing, that he, that's Jesus, who has begun a good work in you, will complete it until the day of Jesus Christ. So Jesus started it, and Jesus will complete it. What will he complete? A good work. A good work. Okay, next slide. Next slide. Yes. Now, I'm quickly going to run about, tell you about Dani Marina. Dani was a young man your age when I met him, 22 years ago, I think, and he came to the Lord. The Lord dramatically, drastically, supernaturally saved him within one day and delivered him from drugs, from addictions, from sleeplessness, from depression, from everything. And the third day after he met the Lord, he was called to ministry. And he went with YWAM, and he walked, knocked on doors here in Tailview. You know, I think it was called, what was it genoemd, where they went to the houses, that's where he met his wife, by the way, they were knocking on doors. And he was just immediately fired up for the Lord. And then they ended up in Thailand, which is, as I said this morning, quite a bad place to be spiritually. But the Lord has, they've survived there for 15 years. And tonight I just want to say, I think what's happened now, this visit to them by Tians and the ministry team from this church, it is in season. I think that couple and that ministry, if they've ever needed it, they need it now. And I'm so excited about what the Lord is doing, what He's going to do in future between this new bridge that the Lord has built between us. I'll just show you quickly a few slides. Okay, that was Dani Marina. This is a huge Buddha, thing that they made from gold, pure gold on a mountain. And you can see how small the people look at the bottom. This is a Buddhist country. Only 3% Christians in the whole country. Next. It's so in your face. Wherever you go, you see these temples, Even in front of houses, you see little temples and they're offering to their gods. Next. Now, Daniel Marina has been in Pattaya for 15 years and they are leading an international congregation there. There's also Thai people coming there. But recently they started a church on an island called Kosichang. This is the first Christian church on that island. And suddenly there's a move of the Spirit. And suddenly people are coming to the Lord and being saved and baptized. It's actually amazing. And this is just Rihanna carrying some of the goodies. That was a little boat that took us to the island. Next. And there Dani is ministering to small Buddhist children. Most of them are still Buddhist. Next. Yes, and here they are sitting drawing next. And this is so amazing. I want to encourage you with this slide. Dani said he wanted to take us down to the beach to show us where they baptized the new converts. And as we were walking, somebody called his name, and it was this lady. And she's a professional. She massages people's hands and feet. There's lots of these people in Thailand. When she came to the Lord, she didn't lose this job that she has. That is what she does for a living. But you see that Bible there, that book there, it's a Bible. She's only been a Christian for a few months. Look what that Bible looks like. While she's massaging this man's hands and feet, she's ministering to him. She's telling him about Jesus. And that's the way it should be, not only in Thailand, but also with us. Next. And that is where they baptize. Beautiful, warm water. Next. Okay. So this morning I just, we read this scripture. It's really a scripture that the Lord laid on my heart many, many years ago. And that is that He chose us. It's in 1 Corinthians 1:26. I'll just read it. Now remember that what you were, my friends, when God called you. From the human point of view, few of you were wise or powerful or of high social standing. God purposely chose what the world considers nonsense and what the world considers weak so that He can show His power. And, I said this morning, we know so many people who are so much prettier than we are, more handsome, richer, more cleverer, everything, and they don't know the Lord. And somehow, sometimes I think that the Lord actually needs ordinary people like us to actually show His glory. And because when you are weak and when you are poor and when you are desperate like Dani was, you need the Lord. I think that's why the Lord said it's so difficult for a rich man to get into the kingdom of God. Because if you have all those things, and many of these people never get to the Lord. Right, next slide. Okay, so I just want to, you all know this verse, but I just want to read it to you again. God called us for success. He called us, He has good plans for us, Jeremiah 29:11. He says, I alone know the plans I have for you. Isn't that amazing? Sometimes we think we know what the plans for our life is, but it's not so. Only God. He says, me alone, only I. For this church, who knows what the plans of the Lord? And we must hear from Him. That's why we get together here every Thursday, to hear from God and so that He can tell us what His plans are for this congregation and for us. And He says, He knows the plans He has for us, and He says, it's plans to bring us prosperity and not disaster. Plans to bring about the future you hope for. And when we hope for things, because the Holy Spirit is in our hearts, many of those thoughts come from the Lord. Not always. Sometimes we have our own ideas. But many of these things can come from the Lord. And He says He will bring about what we hope for. Because He implants thoughts in our hearts for our own future, our own lives, but also for the church as such. Next slide. I think we can go on a bit faster. I want to come to the last slides. Okay, so I'm coming to the last part of this first scripture I told you, and the question is, what is our role in all of this? We say God is going to complete it, but don't we have a role? And that's what I want to talk on in the next few minutes, and I want to talk on our role in our relationship with God. You know, sometimes we're watching a lot of tennis nowadays, Wimbledon, you know. Many of us has the idea our relationship with the Lord is like two equal partners standing on the different sides of a court and hitting balls back. You know, it's not like that. Sometimes I don't know how it is, but I promise you it's not like that. God and us, we're not equal. We're in a game with him, and we have a role, but our role is not equal to his role. So what is our role? Now, the next slide, actually, for me, it's the bottom of it all, and that is that we realize that we are weak and God is strong. And this comes from a very well-known portion of scripture in 2 Corinthians 12, verse 9. This is where Paul asked the Lord to take away the thorn that he had in his flesh. But God didn't take it away. This was God's answer. My grace is all you need, for my power is greatest when you are weak. I am most happy then to be proud of my weaknesses in order to feel the protection of Christ's power over me. You see, what I'm trying to say is, or the Bible is trying to say, when we're strong in any area of our life, there is very little place for God to work. And the next verse says, I am content with weaknesses, insults, hardships, persecutions, and difficulties for Christ's sake. For when I am weak, then I am strong. So what I'm telling you tonight is neither me nor any of you, of us, can ever have an excuse not to do something which the Lord has told us to do. Because when we do that, we just say, well, your power is not enough, you know, because then you trust on your own power and you don't trust on his power. And I just told this story this morning. I'll cut it very short now, but, you know, I'm not good with administration. I'm not an organizer. I can tell you that. Ask my wife. Anybody that knows that is fair. She looks out where there's milk in the fridge, and whether if she didn't pay the accounts, we wouldn't have had a roof over our house anymore. We would have been put out, and the water would have been cut off, electricity would have been cut off, you know, things like that. But fortunately, I've got a wife who's a wonderful organizer. But at work, they also realized it. So I've been working there for 40 years in my job, and nobody has ever asked me, you know, to do student lists and things, because people will turn up when they shouldn't and things like that. And then we got a new boss 4 years ago, and she was totally ignorant of my inabilities. And you know what she decided? She decided she makes me chairman of human resources in the department. You know what that thing means? 140 doctors. You know what doctors are like? Many prima donnas, I tell you. I must now look after 140 people, make sure that they turn up for work, that they're happy, that they get their promotion, that they do their calls when they should, that nobody's harder working than anybody else. I say, God, this is impossible. I just can't do it. You know what the Lord tells me? When you're weak, I'm strong. That's what he told me. So I called together a prayer meeting. Didn't get books on the topic. And then, yes, we have a prayer meeting at work every week, and we started praying. And the long and the short of it is that the Lord surrounded me with such amazing people who have the abilities that I don't have, and who just gave me their full support, so that recently the boss said, I'm retiring in February. She said, I wish I could keep you only for the human resources. Not for anything else, which I thought I was good in, only the human resources. You know, I'm telling you this not to put myself on anything high, but to tell you, just get this into your spirit, that the most inadequate you feel, more inadequate you feel, the stronger you are, because God will come through for you if it's his will. And yes, I could have said it's not his will for that lady to have given me this job and just resigned or took early retirement, then I would never have had the testimony to give to you tonight. Okay, next slide. So the next four slides, I'm just going to concentrate on the Holy Spirit. And you know, we need the Holy Spirit to sanctify us. Now, Christians shrink away when they hear that word. It's a very high word, sanctification. It's to be holy. Holy is something. Well, I tell you, we can't make ourselves holy. All holiness that we try to initiate in our own strength will result in puffiness, puffed up, and you will be just there to see all the sins in people around you. That's our own holiness. But holiness initiated by the Holy Spirit is when He points out, the Holy Spirit points out something in your life, and you submit, and you're obedient, and you say, Lord, thank you for showing me this, and I'm going to change. And you'll see there, I said, God does it through His Word, His Spirit, prayer, relationships, and circumstances. I just want to say something about relationships. You know, one of the most holy men that I ever met in my life had one of the most difficult wives that I've ever seen. This was in the mission field in Malawi. You know, I've never seen a wife like that, but I've never seen a man like that. And I think the Lord must have used that wife to make him holy. Because, yeah, I think I tell you, you know what the modern thing is when you have a wife like that? Divorce court. Straight. You've got more than enough reason to divorce. That man allowed the Holy Spirit to just, you know, submit, well, not submit really, but to change, you know, to handle her with him. You can't believe how much love he handled that difficult wife. And, okay, that's for him. I don't know what to say about her, but there I just saw how the Lord uses relationships. And then circumstances. The other day there was a pastor preaching here. You know what I told him? I don't know whether it went off well. I said, my job in Tigerberg did more for my sanctification than any preacher I ever had. It was a bit tough and a bit perhaps overemphasized. But you know, to be in the world, to be a Christian in the world under difficult circumstances, God sanctifies you if you allow Him. Because He uses difficult people around you. He uses difficult circumstances around you. But God uses that so that He can show His glory in your situation. Right, next slide. We must also allow the Holy Spirit to guide us. You know, I'm going to make a profound statement tonight, and that is, did you know we were all born on stage to perform? We were born to perform without a preview. It's not like any other show where they can practice before the time. The moment you set your feet in this world, you start performing. And you know what? It's so sad if you don't have the Holy Spirit. Because in performances, they have these people behind the curtains that whisper the words. Did you know that? Sometimes even the best actors forget their words. We have the Holy Spirit. And therefore, it's not an option to be filled with the Holy Spirit. It's not you may or you may. You must have it. Because without the Holy Spirit, you don't have this guiding voice that guides you moment by moment through the day to be a Christian and to live the right life. And for me, this is such a wonderful verse, the one in Proverbs 4:18, which says, the road the righteous travel is like the sunrise, getting brighter and brighter until daylight has come. And then the next verse, which is, the road of the wicked, however, is dark as night. They fall, but cannot see what they have stumbled over. And that is what a life is without the light of God and without the Holy Spirit. And when you open the paper tomorrow morning, you will see that. You will see what the life looks. You know, the things that we read in the papers. People who didn't have the enlightenment of the Holy Spirit that we have. Next. And then we must allow the Holy Spirit to empower us for work. Now, what I'm going to say now is, I'm sure it's biblical, but it's not very, it's not often heard from pulpits. But I'm not a preacher, fortunately, so I can say things that other people can't say. You're very lucky tonight. Very, very lucky to have me here. You know, this piece of scripture is about a guy. It is in Exodus 35. The Lord showed this to me many years ago. This was with the construction of the temple. His name was Bezalel. And I'm just going to read this to you just to show you what he was anointed for by the Holy Spirit. And then, you know, the Lord has, Moses said to the other Israelites, the Lord has chosen Bezalel, and then say Naaman, God has filled him with his power and given him skill, ability, and understanding for every kind of artistic work. Did you know that God is interested in your daily work? Whether you are making jewelry, whether you are an IT person, whether you are whatever, to make you successful in that job, if you allow him to, if you allow his spirit to empower you. Then it says, for planning skillful designs and working them in gold, silver, and bronze, for cutting jewels to be set, for carving wood, and for every other kind of artistic work. I'm thinking of Charlene, who's actually trained in this. The Lord has given to him and to Oholiab, son of Ahisamach, from the tribe of Dan, the ability to teach their crafts to others. So the Lord not only gave them ability, he also gave them ability to hand it over to other people. And this is so wonderful to know. When you get up tomorrow morning, you know we must get away from this separation of this is church and this is not church. You know, it's not about church and not church. It's about the kingdom of God. And as you leave your house tomorrow morning, get into your car, you carry the kingdom of God in you. And you carry to the marketplace. And it's no different where you are working than in church. And most of us are not called to full-time ministry. Most of us will spend our lives in the marketplace. But the Holy Spirit is as powerful there as he is in church. Right, next slide. And then, of course, this is what we're in church for, is to allow the Holy Spirit to minister us, to empower us for ministry. And you know, I think one reason why I decided on this topic tonight is as we were walking the streets of Thailand, you can tell, Jana, you know, the evil and the darkness, it's so real. It actually strikes you in the face. I mean, I'm not going into the detail because this is church. It's not the right place to say what we've seen. But it is really evil. And you know, the more desperate the situation, the darker it is, the more evil, the more do we need the Holy Spirit. I just told Dani the last evening, I said, Dani, you know, there's no way that this situation will change without a powerful move of the Holy Spirit. Because, there's examples of that. You know, there's this lady, Jackie Pullinger. Next slide. If you haven't read this book, you can buy it on Amazon or perhaps some people who have it, but it's an amazing book to read, to encourage us. Because this was a young English girl. She was, I think, 20, as a matter, 19. And she said she came to the Lord in spite of Christians. She said she came to Jesus in spite of Christians. So, not a good thing to say about other Christians, but she got to know the Lord, and then she was called, like Dani, she was called for ministry. And she didn't know exactly where to go, and then the Lord, she was called to the walled city. And at that stage, the walled city was very much like what Pattaya is today. It was a very, very filthy, dangerous place to be. And you know, we went to Hong Kong 20 years ago, and Rihanna had just read the book, and she wanted to go and look at the walled city 10 years, 15 years ago, and the walled city didn't exist anymore. It was gone. And this was the ministry of one woman. And this woman went into that city and she started sitting next to opium addicts, praying for them in the spirit. And she saw how God delivered them supernaturally at that point. You know, and it was amazing. You'll read it all in that book. I don't want to if you're interested, you must please buy the book and go and read it, get it somewhere. But what I want to say about Jackie Pullinger's ministry is, as Samantha told us the other night in our meeting, I was so glad that she did share that with us. She said they tried to use what's happened in Hong Kong and just use it in a little town in England, in Bedford, and it didn't work. And for me, that was so powerful to hear, because you know what we do? God moves in the spirit in a situation. And then instead of trusting the spirit to do something in our lives, in our ministry, we want to... I don't say you can't learn from other ministries, but you can't just take it like that and think God will do exactly the same thing here. And we must have that openness for the Spirit to listen. What does the Holy Spirit want to do in my life, your life, and what does he want to do in this congregation? Because there are many churches in Tableview, but this church has got a very, very special, the Lord has got a very, very special plan with shofar table view. And we're not in competition with anybody. We all, you know, part of the Lord's work, but this is very special, and therefore we must hear what does the Lord want to do here. Next slide. I just thought I would just, it was in my quiet time this week that I got this. I wasn't planning to talk on this, but it so struck me that I just thought I would want to share it with you, and that is why don't we see the Holy Spirit work as He should in our lives and in our congregations? And the Lord showed me in one chapter, John 4, He showed me three things. And that is the chapter of the Samaritan woman. Next slide. And you know, it's that very well-known part where the lady was sitting at the well, and Jesus was very thirsty, and He asked her for water. And then He told her, and He said in verse John 4:14, "But whoever drinks of the water that I shall give him shall never thirst, but the water that I shall give him shall be in him a well of water springing up into eternal life." That's the Holy Spirit. You know, in the Word of God, there are analogs, and one of them, you know, the Holy Spirit is compared to wind, which moves where we don't know where it comes from, where it's moving, but also water, because water is life. You know, if you go to a desert and you see what water can do, water is life. And you know what the reaction of this woman was? She said to him, she wants of the water, and then Jesus says, "Go and call your husband." So Jesus recognized there was unconfessed sin in her life. And you know, the Holy Spirit is called the Holy Spirit because He's holy. We all sin. We all sinners. Otherwise, we wouldn't have need Jesus. But I'm talking about unconfessed sin and habitual sin. You know, I just want to say something about sometimes a person will tell you and ask, you know, can a Christian do this? Can a Christian do that? Will he still go to heaven? Well, you may still go to heaven, but I promise you, you won't have the power of the Holy Spirit. So we must, and the Lord works individually with each of us. So we must have this openness for what the Spirit tells us about our own lives, and just confess things that you know in your own life that may dampen or hinder the Spirit of God to do what He wants to do in your life. But then, can we just move on? Yes. And then the next one is when that has been sorted out, the sin in her life. She's verse 20. She says to Jesus, "Our fathers worshipped in this mountain, and you say that in Jerusalem is a place where men ought to worship." She moves to the next obstacle. You know what that is? Tradition. This is the way we do it. We don't do it. We don't clap hands. We don't raise our hands. We don't speak in tongues. We don't do it. That's not the way we do it. You know, when Jesus went to Nazareth, that was the only place where He couldn't perform any miracle. And He said it was because of the tradition of His brothers. So we must have an openness, and we must lay our traditions aside, and we must allow the Holy Spirit to do what He wants in our life. And then the next slide is in the same chapter, and this is interesting because I recently spoke to a pastor about this from a traditional church. And you know what he told me when I spoke about the Holy Spirit and the supernatural gifts of the Spirit? He quoted this verse where Jesus said to this man who asked Jesus to heal his son. Jesus said, verse 48, "Unless you see signs and wonders, you will not believe." And then the nobleman said to him, "Sir, come down before my child dies." So this pastor quoted this verse and he says, you know, when are we going to come to the point to believe Jesus without signs and wonders? But you know what? It's not scriptural. Where Jesus moved, there were signs and wonders. In the Acts, it's full of it, with signs and wonders. And then just when the guy spoke to me about this, I didn't have an answer for him really. And then as I read this chapter the other morning, the Lord gave me the answer. It's in John 4:53. And there it says, "The son was healed. Jesus spoke a word, and the father went back, and he saw the child was healed at the time when he spoke to Jesus." You know what happened? He himself and his whole house came to faith. That's why we need miracles. We need miracles to, to confirm the word. Not separate from the word, but to confirm the word. And this is my last slide, the next one. This is also not a very favorite, or as I say, topic in Christianity, this thing of rewards. It's almost as if it's wrong to talk about it, you know. But I just want to move the emphasis tonight from what I've said so far to tell you how biblical it is. In 1 Corinthians 3, verse 11 to 15, it says the bold words, "If anyone's work which he built remains, he shall receive a reward." And then if we go up, it says the foundation, we cannot lay any other foundation because the foundation laid was Jesus Christ. And then one day I asked the Lord, but I want to know what the gold is and the silver. I don't want to waste my life with stubble and hay. Because as we sang tonight, God is a consuming fire. And our works will be exposed to fire at the end of our lives. And all that will be rewarded is that which comes out of the fire, purified, which is the gold and the silver. And you know what the Lord told me? For me, he said, everything that's inspired by my spirit is for me, and is gold and silver. And all dead works will be burnt. You'll still be saved, because the foundation that was laid was from God, it's Christ, that's eternal. But your works that you do in this life, the ones that will remain, that will survive the fire, is the things survived by the Holy Spirit, that survived the fire. And so I just want to encourage us all tonight, you know, for this life. There's many books written on this topic, living on the edge, living the supernatural life, all these. It's just a normal Christian life. I think that's the best book on the Holy Spirit by Watchman Nee. He called his book The Normal Christian Life, because this is a normal life. All the other things are substitutes. And I want to stop here tonight by just doing a little demonstration. Yes, Lord, as we come before you tonight, Lord, we just realize, Lord, as we saw this love just dangling in the air, totally powerless and, Lord, not able to do anything good, just a piece of useless rubber. Lord, we are reminded of that scripture, Lord, which says that we are so weak, Lord, but inside of us, Lord, we are actually perishable containers, Lord, like this glove. But inside of us, Lord, we carry a precious treasure, Lord. That treasure is your spirit in us. And Lord, we know tonight that if we quote your word and we say all things are possible with you, you can do anything in our lives. We know that it is only through your spirit. Lord, we know that you will complete the good works that you've planned for us through your spirit. Lord, and tonight I just pray for myself and this congregation, Lord, and we just ask, Lord, that you will give us a new openness, Lord, a new awareness of your spirit in us, that we'll walk in the spirit. Lord, that we let go of things that quench your spirit, Lord, whether it's sin or tradition. Lord, just we know tonight, Lord, that the building of this church and what you've planned here in Shofar Table View, Lord, will be by your Spirit and not by our efforts. And Lord, we just pray that you will do that for us, for each of us, in the weeks to come. In Jesus' name.